This is Stacking the Box with NFL insider Matt Bertaram and Mark Carman. Wow. Week 6. Welcome in to Stacking the Box. If you had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 38 and the Green Bay Packers 10 with Aaron Rodgers throwing two interceptions in three throws, congratulations. Go get a lottery ticket. Matt Bertaram, that was a stunner today. Not that the Bucs won, I guess, but the way in which they did it, I certainly did not see that coming. Thank you for putting on Stacking the Box, everyone.
Yeah. Look, it was 10-0 and looked like the Packers were going to roll the Bucs. I mean, watching that game, that was going to be the lead of my column, as I'm assuming many people that cover the NFL were going to lead the column. Which, so I was watching it. It was 10-0. Green Bay had the ball. I'm like, okay, like this is where the Packers roll Tampa and go 5-0. And now we're sitting here talking about the Packers are undisputed. They're the best team in the league. And then he throws that pick six. And man, that game flipped about as wildly as you'll ever see a game flip. I mean, that it went from 10-0 to 28-10 in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Look, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, his resume on throwing picks is incredible. He hadn't thrown one for, you know, all season long, first 156 passes of the year. The last time that he had thrown a pick six, Rodgers had thrown 6,214 times in his career, and only those two had been intercepted and returned for scores. I mean, this guy is he doesn't do this, but they got him today. And I don't know if that means that he's old or just had an off day. I'm going to go with off day, right?
Yeah, I think an off day. And, you know, the funny thing is, you said it, he's only had three pick sixes in his career, two of them in Tampa. Yeah. As odd as that is. So, no, I don't think he's washed. Or, you know, he's arguably right now, other than, I think, the unanimous choice in MVP right now in Wilson, he's arguably the number two guy. Right, like he's been great, but he had a bad day. I mean, there's no way around that.
There is some conversation worth having about Aaron when he is actually pressured. I mean, the Bucs got to him. He's playoff games where he's been under pressure. It hasn't looked great, and today it didn't look great. They got to him 12 times, at least hitting him. So, look, the guy's a Hall of Fame quarterback. I take him on my team. I might even draft him ahead of Russell Wilson right now, but that is how you beat him. Like most quarterbacks, by the way, you got to get to him. But and I do think as he has gotten older, that part of his game has looked a little more wobbly than anything else.
So, look, I'm going to go to Tampa first, and we can circle back on the Packers.
Okay.
My biggest takeaway from the game is Tampa Bay's defense, man. They can play like that. Now, look, that's not a revelation. The Bucs defense was even good last year, especially as they're going to have the season under Todd Bowles. That's a really good group. They don't let you run the ball. They pressure a lot. They bring a lot of pressure. Aikman pointed out during the broadcast, and astutely so, that they don't blitz a lot on third down, but on first and second, they bring a ton of pressure. They want to get you in third and long, and then they play coverage. And the Buccaneers did a great job of that. I mean, as you just mentioned, they hit Rodgers over and over and over in the game. They made him very uncomfortable. And that really was a big turning point in the afternoon. But I just thought, look, overall, if you're going to beat the Bucs, it's going to be a team that is going to be good against the blitz. Teams that on first and second down, and they bring a lot of pressure, you're just going to kill them. And I believe you said on the last podcast, Rodgers has not been good against the blitz. The Packers as a whole have not been good against the blitz. So that kind of played into the hand of Bowles. Once they relinquished that lead, all of a sudden it was, hey, we can be a little bit more fast and loose with the blitz. They can do so. And that is one thing, not to transition out of the Bucs yet, but that I do think the Packers have a problem with. Adams is the only receiver they've got that scares anybody. And so you're not afraid to blitz against the Packers because who's going to beat you down the field, right? Like, as long as you can bracket Adams, you're not that worried about Equanimeous St. Brown getting deep on you. So I do think that all played together.
Yeah, and look, as far as Tampa's D, I mean, they got a lot of people who are making an impact. I mean, Golston got to the quarterback three times. Jason Pierre-Paul, yeah. I don't know how he does it. I mean, you're walking around with you're compromised, but yet he continually gets to the quarterback at a sack and a half today, hit him three times. And their linebackers are fast, and the Bucs, look, give Brady credit. The dude's no dummy. He saw a good defense. He saw some talent on offense. I mean, he did barely anything today, and it was more than enough. They won by 28. So
yeah, Brady was not the story.
which is amazing. You know, Brady versus Rodgers, Rodgers being bad, 16-35, the two picks that we're talking about, yeah. You know, a QBR of 17.8, that doesn't happen. And Tom's just chilling, you know, no big deal. 4-2, Tampa, how good are they here, Matt?
Good, good. And by the way, just to close out that last little part there.
Yeah.
Going into the pick six, the Packers had outgained the Buccaneers 134-39. They were averaging 6.7 yards per play. After that pick six, the Packers ran 42 plays and gained 52 yards. Complete dominance after that pick six. No, I think the Bucs are really good. Well, here's the thing. So I thought coming into the year that Bucs would be about an 11-win team. I still think that's about right. Maybe I'm off by a game or so either way, but I think it's about right. I thought the Saints would win the division. But Breeze is – now, you asked me if I thought Rodgers looks washed. No, I don't think he does at all. Breeze looks washed. Breeze looks like he can't throw the ball anymore. And I have major concerns about the Saints. If the Buccaneers win that division, okay, the NFC East doesn't even count as a division. So then you start looking at the North, the West, and the South. Yeah, I mean, the Bucs. I see the Bucs right up there, and we're going to touch on this a little later in the show, but with Seattle, Green Bay, as the top-tier teams in the NFC. I think there's a clear delineation from those three and the rest of the, and the rest of the conference.
Good use of delineate, Matt. I'm impressed, and let me just delineate something else for you. I love watching Ronald Jones run the football. Every time that dude touches it, it's with a burst. I enjoy it, and I haven't exactly loved watching Gronk play this year. You were right about Gronk that it was, you know, he wasn't going to come back and be dynamic, but he was dynamic today, baby.
He did play well today.
He was involved. Got in the end zone. Nice catch. Adjusted himself well. 5 catches total, which is by far his best as a Tampa Bay Buck. So it was a good day for Gronk. As far as Green Bay, I mean, Rodgers, as far as long term concerns, Rodgers just said that they needed a wake up call. Period, end of story, that things have been going too well, that they were 4-0, and, you know, coming off a 13-win season last year, that this is nothing. Like, he was super positive about it, which I don't want to be in the overreaction game here, so I'm going to tend to agree with him. But I kind of wonder on some level if his words are, you know, he's trying to calm himself down a little bit. I'm not sure.
No, look, I'm a big believer in the shit happens theory in the NFL. Because it does, right? Like, obviously, I am a Chiefs fan, and they lost to the Raiders last week, and, like, Chiefs Twitter was just out of its mind. I mean, there were literally people when they signed Le'Veon Bell who were you know, commenting to me, well, it doesn't matter because they can't block anybody. Did you see the Raiders game? It's like, are you kidding me? This went 13 games in a row. I feel the same way about the Packers, right? Like, the Packers are a really good team that happened to lose to another really good team on the road. Yeah, it's off the bye. That sucks, but I'm not that worried about it. What I am worried about, two prongs here, and we already touched on one. If Adams is either hurt or ineffective in a game, they have nobody to throw the ball to. And against really good teams, those teams are going to take him away. They're going to force you to play throwing to these other guys, and I don't know that the Packers can consistently do it. The other thing is, and we talked about this on the last podcast, the Packers caught Atlanta without Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, even though he played, was still hurt. They caught the Lions without Kenny Golladay, right? Like, they caught the Saints without Michael Thomas. Well, the Bucs had their full complement today and hung 38. Now, granted, 14 of that was essentially defensive. But the Buccaneers, really, when they want, they moved the ball pretty consistently throughout the last three quarters of the game. I still think the Packers are an excellent Super Bowl contending type team. It happens. They lost. They're 4-1. So what? Three of the next four games are like Jacksonville.
They've got an easy schedule.
Yeah, yep. Jacksonville, Houston. I forget. There's one other game should absolutely roll. Might be Minnesota or something. I think they're fine. But those are concerns that when they get to January, could be magnified.
At Houston, Minnesota at home, at the Niners.
Right, that'll tough be a game challenge. With the Niners.
And then, but then they got the Jaguars at home. They got to go play Indy, and then here come the Bears. First place, Chicago. What up? We'll get to the Bears in a little bit here. But let's move on to the AFC, and the Pittsburgh Steelers just made a mockery of Baker Mayfield, the Cleveland Browns. Like, honestly, we've said a lot of nice things about the Browns this year, and I'm feeling like an idiot for doing any of it. The Browns might as well fold the franchise after the performance, even though, by the way, they're still 4-2. But Pittsburgh 5-0, and Now, plus 62, by the way, on the year here, Verteram, which is the best in the AFC. And just double-checking my work here, it's second. It's the best in all of the NFL. Just rolling on teams as they crushed Baker, who got benched today. That was a statement game for Pittsburgh.
It was, because the Steelers, who anyone who listens to this knows I've been high on, they've played nobody all year long. And four of their five games have been at home. They've had a very easy go of it to this point. And I'm not a big Cleveland guy, but this was easily the best team they've played. It's a decent team. They hammered Cleveland.
38-7. I mean, yeah.
38-7. I'll be honest with you. I watched the game live. It didn't even do it justice. They beat him worse than that. I mean, Cleveland's almost lucky it was 38-7. And look, my biggest takeaways here, we know Pittsburgh's good. So let's, no disrespect to Steelers fans, let's put them aside for just a second. We'll get back to them in a moment. The Browns, this is the thing that has worried me all year about the Browns, and I've said this repeatedly, and it came to fruition today. If they can't run the ball, Baker is a major liability. And today in this game, they rushed for 3.4 yards a carry. They couldn't get going. They were constantly in second and third and long. And Baker Mayfield goes out and throws for 119 yards, a touchdown and two picks, and had a 5.4 QBR. Oh, and by the way, the play of the game was Minka Fitzpatrick pick-sixing him on Cleveland's first drive. Game was over. It was 10-0, and you just, the way the game, you felt like it was over 5 minutes in.
I don't feel bad about this. Maybe that's a lie. I feel a little bit bad about it, but I really enjoy when Baker struggles. It does not bother me in the least. And
terrible person.
Yeah, I maybe so. What do you think of as far as the future of the Steelers in 2020 without Devin Bush, who is inside linebacker, defensive play caller, went out in the second quarter. Apparently, is an ACL tear, season over. How much do you think that impacts Pittsburgh?
A lot, because their entire team is built off that front seven, and any loss in that front seven is a major loss. And he is the quarterback of it. Okay, that's like when they had Ryan Shazier back in the day, and Shazier was just an animal. Could go sideline to sideline, could blitz, could play coverage. Bush is a lot like that. Obviously, Shazier's injury was, you know, tragic, and thankfully, as much as it stinks that Bush tore his ACL, he should be back, should play again. But they're similar type players, and to lose Bush is a crippling blow. They still have a great pass rush; their secondary is still very good, but Bush kind of ties that all together. Now they're weaker in the middle of the field, so I do think it's a big blow. I don't think they're going to be able to replace Devin Bush in any way, shape, or form. That being said, they're sitting here now at 5-0, and you'll look at them and say, that's a damn complete team. They can run the ball. They've got weapons. Claypool, the rookie receiver, looks unbelievable.
He's awesome.
That team drafts receivers better than anybody in the NFL. It's incredible. They find guys. Like Claypool is like a 12th receiver taken, and the kid's unbelievable. So, you know, right now, I still think Pittsburgh's in a great spot, but losing Bush, yeah, that's a big damper on what was a huge win.
People can read up on Claypool, but his sister took her own life. There's some interesting background there. He's, you know, coming from Canada, and of course, Notre Dame. The Steelers, man, though, they're going to miss Bush, but they get to the quarterback. I mean, they constant pressure, man. So I still think they're going to be able to do that. They've got three or more sacks in six consecutive games, and they just cause havoc. And they're like, I mean, they made it. It was a miserable day for Baker that I think he'll remember for quite some time. The Brownies, what do you think this means for the old Brownies here going forward?
I think it means that they're exactly what I thought they were, to quote the late great Denny Green. They're an average team. I think they're probably about a 9-win team, which is what I said last week. I look, this doesn't change my opinion of them. I will say this. I don't get into all this week-to-week stuff about, well, they blew this team out and then they won this game, because you can play that game with every team in the league by and large. I do think it's concerning, though. They've played two really good teams this year, like two playoff contending, real quality opponents, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, two teams that are in the division that they should know pretty damn well, and they've lost 38-6 and 38-7. That is not comforting. And the bigger problem I have, and I'm going to sound like a broken record, I'm going to say this all year long. If you can't play multiple ways, you're not going anywhere meaningful in January. I don't care who you are. I have the same concerns, and I don't know that we're even going to get into it in this show. I don't think we will. I have the same concerns about Baltimore. I know they won again today. Baltimore can't throw the football. Like, they're just going to come into games in cold weather January where teams are going to say, we don't care. You're not running the ball. Beat us. And I think Cleveland's got the same problem right about now. If Cleveland can't run the ball and stay ahead of the sticks and get play action going, they can't move the ball because Mayfield's terrible.
So, okay. And
their defense is not Baltimore's. They're not good enough to play it that they'll get blown out if that happens.
So that's where I find it interesting if I'm the Browns. You aren't, I guess, going to punt on Baker, but look.
You can't.
I guess you can't, but you're a competitive playoff football team right now. Baker has now has 11 games with multiple interceptions. And it's the other two quarterbacks are Jameis and Phillip Rivers, by the way, the only ones that have had more since 2018. Phillip Rivers throws a lot of touchdown passes to go along with his interceptions. So does Jameis. Baker doesn't. So, and Case Keenum, not sexy, but I'm not sure they're not better with Keenum. I'm really not. He's, when given an op, it's a lower bar of where you're trying to get to. And if you can't do it, but I would just make the argument they might be a better team this year with Keenum at quarterback. That's all I'm saying. And he's also hurt now. I mean, the ribs are have been bothering him, and he got banged up today.
That's fair. I guess, man, I can't go there. Keenum's terrible, but Mayfield's a major issue, and they've been able to hide him for a month straight because they've run the ball and they've played bad teams. They played, you know, Washington, they played Dallas. Indy's not a bad team, but they got a lead on Indianapolis, and Indy's not a great team. My God, they barely beat Cincinnati today at home. When the Browns play good teams, they're going to lose because those teams are just going to stop them from running all up and down the field, and they're going to say, go ahead, Baker, throw it. And it doesn't. The biggest concern I have if I'm a Browns fan with Baker is it's not as though he has a lack of weaponry. He's got a ton of talent. And I think we can all agree Stefanski's a real head coach. And he still's terrible. Like I don't know where you go with that. Because it's not as though you just say, well, we just got to get better guys. No, you don't. Like, you've got great guys, and you still can't do anything.
Well, and he's lucky he's got Stefanski, because that's obviously a huge upgrade from Freddie. Yeah. Put in the kitchen, and Stefanski's sticking by him. So there's that. Let's look at Pittsburgh and Baltimore. The Ravens eking one out today. Handicap this for us, Matt Bertram. Pittsburgh, Baltimore.
So I think right now Pittsburgh is definitively better than Baltimore. Definitively. I think the Steelers are just a clearly better team. The Ravens are very good defensively, but guess what? So is Pittsburgh. Jackson has just not been that good this year. Now, like, I get it. He rushed for 107 yards today. That matters. That counts. They can't throw the ball. He's on pace for like 3,000 passing yards. And while he did run for 100 yards today, they're not running the ball the way they did last season. They're not. Now, last year they set records. I didn't expect them to rush for that exact amount of yardage again. But the offensive line losing Marshall Yanda, who's probably a Hall of Fame guard, I mean, that's clearly affected them as well you'd expect it to. Jackson has not been the same player. Defensively, they've been good. They've been very good, although I would argue they've played one really good team this year, and the Chiefs lit them up like a Christmas tree. So, I think the Ravens are a very good team. I think a top three team in the conference and certainly have the capabilities of beating anybody. But right now, I like Pittsburgh, and I've liked them going into the season. I'm sticking with it. The Steelers right now are the better team. And I'll tell you one thing. When they see each other, the Steelers are not going to let them run the ball, and they're going to make him throw it. They are just going to jam the line. They're going to get pressure, and they're going to say, go ahead, big boy. Beat us outside. Do it. And he can't. They can't do it. Baltimore has no ability to do that. So I think Pittsburgh is the tougher team right now.
For the record, and I agree with everything you're saying, and I would put Pittsburgh ahead of them, and the Ravens have some concerns here. But just for the record, they are 5-1. It's the third time in franchise history they've ever done that, and that the other 2 years would be 2000 and 2012. Those are the two years that they went on to win the Super Bowl. None of that matters. Those stats, Matt, I don't know why I'm bringing it up, but just I do think in the overreaction NFL, we do need to remind that they are 5-1. And I would also put out there that today felt like they just got bored. You're up 24-6. I don't know what happened. Maybe like too much success going on there. Maybe they're still thinking about playing the Chiefs. But it wasn't impressive. But they also were sloppy. They had 12 penalties. That was ugly too.
The Eagles tacked it on late, and they did make a run at it. I mean, the Ravens really did get a little dicey there at the end of the game. A 2-point conversion ties it. But I don't worry about that. But we're gonna, you know what? And to be fair, we're about to find out a lot about the Ravens this year because their next five games, and they got a bye next week, so they get to kind of, you know, they get to hang out at home, relax. If they need to get, you know, you guys have bumps and bruises, they can get healthy. Their next 5 weeks after the bye, they host the Steelers. They are at the Colts, at the Pats, home to the Titans, at the Steelers. So, and then after that, they play nobody for the last 5 weeks of the year. If you want it, maybe have at Cleveland, there's a Monday night game. You want to throw that in there. Look, these next five games, you're gonna find out exactly what's going on because there are some big boy teams in there. I mean, you got the Steelers twice, you got the Titans, New England on the road. It's going to be interesting.
Bring it on. COVID, stay away. All right, let's move to Chicago. The Bears are 5-1, 23-16 over Carolina. Nick Foles had one of the greatest post-game pressers, an impassioned Nick Foles, if you will, just telling everybody that, yeah, we know our offense sucks, but we're working on it. We got great guys in here. You're writing here that the record is real. It is. They are 5-1. They're not going to take it away from them. But I think that the Bears offense is going to get better as the year goes along, but that offensive line is also real and it ain't good. So they're still having trouble running the football, and Foles threw an ugly interception today, but the defense is big time. It's back to where it was. So what's your take on Chicago?
All right. So there's a lot to unpack here with the Bears. I'll start out with the blunt truth. The offense is just absolutely atrocious. They can't run worth a damn, and Foles is hideous. But he's still better than Trubisky because he doesn't make the mind-numbing mistakes. ESPN with their stupid autoplay videos are killing me. He doesn't make the mistakes that Trubisky – now, I know you said – and you're right, he did have the one really bad pick, but typically he doesn't make the errors that Trubisky makes. So I do think Foles is the right guy for the job. But, I mean, 39 passes, 198 yards, that's brutal. I mean, if you're throwing for 39 attempts, you better be throwing for 325 plus. And they ran for 2.5 yards a carry. But, they get Minnesota two times this year. They get Detroit at home. You look at this and you got to say to yourself, they're going to get the 9 wins, right? I mean, they got five. We're going to the schedule thinking they got to get to 9. I mean, hell, who do they play? I mean, if they beat Minnesota twice, Minnesota is a dumpster fire, and they beat the Lions, even if they lose both to the Packers and they lose to the Rams, okay, well, you're playing the AFC South, right? Like, that ought to be at least another win or two. So they're a playoff team.
I think you can, when I go through the schedule of the Bears, I think it's very, very, very easy that they're a 10-win team, and they could even win 11. I think that's on the board for them. They also, like, okay, you started the football game today, you get an interception, and then on the second play of the game, offensively, you call timeout, and then you come out of the timeout, and then you have a delay of game. And this is coming from a head coach who was screaming about details after you beat Tampa Bay a week ago, Thursday night or whatever, 10 days ago. So, and then after the game today, Nagy's like, yeah, it's all good. So, but the defense is legit, man. Mack had a sack today. That's 4 in the year, but he got the sack because Robert Quinn was applying pressure. They're getting rando contributions. And let me tell you something, too. Cornerbacks, Kyle Fuller is freaking incredible. He had a hit today that they called a penalty that absolutely shouldn't have been. He had a hit against Tampa Bay the week ago, Thursday, where they called it a catch and a fumble. The guy's been phenomenal. Now, Eddie Jackson's doing it there too. I mean, the Bears are very much The defense is legit. And I do think offensively, one thing that's not getting named, David Montgomery is getting better and better, especially out of the backfield. So they're not missing Tariq Cohen like many thought they would. And that's really their run game, is throwing the ball to 2 yards to him and letting him go that way, because obviously handing it off to him has not been working. But that guy can play, man. So I think they are a contender for sure, by the way, to answer the question.
If I'm the Bears, the trade deadline's on Election Day. I'm calling everybody right now about
offensive line.
Everybody. Every single team that might have somebody that can help me. Because you owe it to the team to at least try to win some games here, and meaningful ones in January. And if you're going to win, you need to give Foles a clean pocket, and you got to be able to run the ball. And you're not getting a new quarterback. You're not getting Barry Sanders. So you need to build up that offensive line. I would be looking – I mean, let's talk about some of these teams real quick that are out of it. The Giants are out of it. I don't know if they have a lineman that helps. I'd call the Redskins, excuse me, I would call the football team up and say, hey, what about Brandon Schreff? Like, what about him? I mean, he's, I believe, on the tag. Is he not? I would be calling them, hey, what can we give you? Now, maybe the price is prohibitive, and if it is, okay, you live with that. But yeah, he's on the tag. So I would reach out about him. He's one of the better guards in the league. I don't know if Minnesota would trade with them. Riley Reif's not great, but he's an upgrade at this point. I would look and scour for anybody who could help them, because that to me is the easiest way to get them better and the most realistic way.
It's a fair take. I'm not sure what you're giving up. I mean, what did Tunsil cost?
Oh, Tunsil's a ridiculous. Braves 2 firsts. I wouldn't do that. I'm just talking like just a good
rotational guy, and you're giving up a second round pick.
Well, like a Joe Thuney, who's an All Pro guard with the Pats. He's on the tag. He's probably not re-signing there, from what I understand. So, like, if you're the Pats and you're going to lose him for a compensatory third round pick anyway at the end of the year, does it make sense to trade him for a second round pick? If you're the Bears, I'd do it. I mean, what the hell? The guy's an All Pro. He can play tackle. He can play guard. He can play center.
If you can make a trade like that, I think it makes a whole lot of sense for the Bears. And then you look to sign him also. All right. Yeah. Bears are legit first place in the North. Into the future we go. And we're starting with New England. Are the Patriots going to sink, is how Matt Verderim has written this, after losing to Denver today, 18-12. Cam was back, but the offense was not. You're sensing a sinking ship with Belichick and company?
So I'll be brief with this, because I don't think it takes a whole lot of explanation. They have no weapons. They have no weapons. You know, when they lost to the Chiefs 26-10, they'd started Hoyer and then went to Stidham. I said, well, you know, hey, to be fair, if Cam had played, they probably would have won. I got to tell you, I watched that game. I don't think they would have won even with Cam. They can't move for a foot. They can't do anything. And by the way, this has not been a one-week problem. They were great against Seattle, although even in that game, they only scored 23 points. They moved up and down the field. The Raiders game, you look at the score and say, well, 36 points. I mean, the Raiders, it was turnover palooza the second half of the game. They didn't score against Miami. I know they were without Newton. They didn't score against Kansas City. Then they come out in this game, and I get the whole COVID thing. Look, dude, they have nobody. Edelman had like 2 catches for 8 yards. N'Keal Harry, their first-round pick of a year ago, didn't have 1 catch. The guy leading the team in receptions is James White, and Izzo is second in receptions and yardage in the game. It's brutal. Like, Denver threw 2 horrid picks in the fourth quarter and didn't score a touchdown the entire game and beat them in New England. I don't think New England's going 5-11. Like, Belichick will keep them hanging around because he's Belichick. But, man, they got Buffalo twice. They got Baltimore. Like, NFC West.
The COVID is real for New England. You got Byron Coward is on the reserve COVID-19 list. That's your starting defensive tackle. You've got Sony Michel. You got your starting right guard, Shaq Mason. All these guys are missing. By the way, they're also banged up too. They lost one of their tackles. New England, I mean, straight trouble here. So, and by the way, for those who wanted to see the Patriots go down, being under 500 after 5 games now at 2-3, they haven't been in this situation since they were 3-4 in 2002. So Tom's in Tampa. Their whole roster has COVID. Belichick is screaming for more practice time. I think you can celebrate fairly carefully that the Pats are in serious trouble.
I mean, look, you go down the line, man. It's not getting better any day soon. Like, their next game's home to the Niners. Okay, maybe they win. It's a 50-50. At Buffalo, at the Jets, they should win, obviously. Home to Baltimore on a Sunday night. At Houston, maybe, you know, probably win. But, I mean, that's Houston's weird because of Watson. Home to the Cardinals. At the Chargers, at the Rams, back-to-back weeks, at the Dolphins, home to Buffalo. Like, man, what are they going, 8-8? They can't score a point.
That feels Bill Belichick optimistic, but maybe they will. Maybe they will. That would be a hell of an accomplishment at this point, considering everything that's going on there. I'm a little surprised on some level because I always have reverence for great teams and great dynasties. And even when Tom moved along, I was betting on Belichick to figure it out, but they're in a world of hurt right now. I mean, you're losing half your roster to COVID. Not half, but you get the point. What about Minnesota? Should we move on to the Vikings?
Yeah, let's do it.
Minnesota, this is, you know, I should have been all in on them being a disaster this year once Stephon Diggs walked out the damn door. But they lost to the Falcons today 40-23, first win for Atlanta. And some are speculating that Kirk Cousins is not going to make it to the end of the year if he continues to turn over the football like he has. I think you're on board with that.
One of those people speculating that is Kirk Cousins, who said it after the game. But here's the problem for the Vikings, okay? Like buffoons, they extended the guy before the season. Why? I'll never know. Well, actually, I'll tell you why. Because they were in cap hell, and it was the easiest way for them to lower his cap number, okay? So stupid is as stupid does. They worked themselves into a horrible cap situation, and the easiest way to bail themselves out was to extend Cousins. So what did they do? They gave him a cap hit next year of $31 million. Now people say, oh, they could maybe move him. No, they can't. He's got a dead cap hit of $41 million. So it costs them $10 million to get rid of him. Then in 2022, they can move him. He makes a $45 million hit. He's got $10 million in dead cap. He's never seeing that year. But he's not going anywhere. He's not. You think they're putting him on the bench, making $31 million? There's not a chance in hell. He's not going to the bench. So, and his backup is Sean Mannion. So he's going to play. And if he doesn't figure this out, yeah, they're going nowhere but Tankville because he's been awful. 10 picks, leading the league in them. And you look at the team. I mean, they're not losing here to dynamite teams either in some of these weeks. I mean, they got blown out by the 0-5 Falcons. You know, they have not played particularly well. They barely beat Houston. Okay, they lost to Green Bay. You live with that. But, I mean, they have not played well. And they're not one of these teams you look at and say, well, they could bounce back. They look dead on arrival. You're at 1-5.
Mike Zimmer in trouble?
No, he's in trouble. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that that's always been the tightest relationship anyway between him and Spielman, the GM there, and who also might be in trouble after this entire debacle. The problem with the Vikings, and so many teams find themselves in these spots, you're almost stuck in a spot where really you have to just blow this thing up, right? Like, you're not – like, what are you going to do if you're Minnesota? The defense stinks. Cousins is – he's better than he's played to this point, but he's not a Super Bowl guy. Like, what are they going to do? Like, you're almost in a spot where you're going to have to just start trading guys off to get picks and just kind of reset this whole thing.
I just want to remind everybody and maybe remind myself, the Vikings were a playoff team last year. They almost felt like they were, I mean, a lot of people picked them to win the division this year. Maybe not a lot, but certainly a decent amount. People were like, yeah, Minnesota was kind of a sexy pick for some. So this is a real quick turn to the bottom here. Let's move on to the Chiefs and the addition of Le'Veon Bell, as if the rich needed to get any richer here. $1 million base salary, can make up to $1 million more with playing time, all that type of stuff. How do you think he's used here? I mean, because I thought he was going to end up in Miami. That's where it's where he lives. It's where he practices. The Dolphins really needed him. But, you know, I guess he wanted to try and win a Super Bowl here and live the dream. So, 3-time Pro Bowler, now a Chief.
Yeah, so after Bell signed with Kansas City, I reached out to some people in the league that I know and basically tried to have some intelligent conversation about why did the Chiefs go out and get Bell. And some people familiar with that whole situation, basically said, look, he's going to help out in pass protection. He's one of the better blocking backs in the league in terms of when he's staying in to protect. He's excellent on third down because he can swing out of the backfield if he's not needed to protect and catch the ball. He's a bigger back than Edwards-Helaire, so he'll help in the red zone. The Chiefs are going to use him to create mismatches and to play situational football. So far this year, Edwards-Helaire has played 65% of the snaps. So you're not really decreasing his usage. Maybe it's a 60-40 split, something like that, but I still think he's going to be the guy. I just feel that Bell is going to get a little more run. Now, look, by some miracle, Bell turns out to be the guy that he was in Pittsburgh, and he's just been misused by Adam Gase. And yeah, the Chiefs are going to feed him to no end because they'd be crazy not to. But I don't think that's going to happen. He's probably going to be worse than he was in Pittsburgh, better than he was with the Jets. You know, I would expect to see him a lot on third down and red zone. And I think he's going to play a big role for them in that regard. He's an upgrade over Darrell Williams. He'll help. He won't play this weekend. He'll play in Denver, I would assume. And I think if you're the Chiefs, you got to be happy with it. They got him for 1 year, $1.5 million. Can't beat that. So can't hurt. He makes him more dynamic. And they can use him all over the formation because he runs routes like a receiver. So they'll put him everywhere.
I mean, the Chiefs have never been an organization that's unwilling to take on character issues. But I do think there is just at least a little bit of a chance that he's just a pain in the ass and wasn't worth it and you didn't need him. And he could become some level of a distraction, but I guess if you trust your locker room and you trust Andy and the talent, they obviously feel it's still there. I mean, a lot of people say there's no burst left with Le'Veon. I don't know if you feel that way.
I think there's burst. I don't think there's Pittsburgh burst. If he's ridiculous still.
Right.
But no, I don't think that exists. I think he's a good player at this point. I think he's good. I don't think he's great. I think he's good. I think the Chiefs will maximize his talents because of Andy Reid. I don't worry as much about the character concern stuff as I used to with the Chiefs because of the locker room. I mean, they have so many guys there who are alpha guys at this point. I'm not too worried about Le'Veon Bell going in there and upsetting the apple cart. I mean, he's not going to sit there and talk a bunch of junk to Kelce or Mahomes or anything. I don't really worry about that.
Fair enough. Let's look at the Rams Sunday Night Football. We're talking to you after the game tonight. 49ers 24, the Rams 16. Jared Goff, man, a lot of just errant throws, and I don't know. It's always the same. It's always the same there. That they're decent, but I never really fully buy into them. You're asking the question whether you think they'll be fraudulent by season's end. What do you think?
I think we're going to find out a lot on Monday night when they host the Bears, because that's a real good defense. They're coming off a bad loss. The Bears would like to win. They don't have to win that game. They're 5-1. They don't have to beat the Rams on the road. But I am leaning towards, yeah, they're going to be somewhat fraudulent here as a contender. I think, yeah, they might make the playoffs. Man, Goff is weird because he does have games where you're like, man, he looks really good. And then there's other games where you're like, man, he looks like crap. And there's like no in between. My concern with the Rams is they've beaten nobody. They've beaten four NFC East teams. And when they haven't played NFC East teams, the Niners looked at, that score was closer than it really was. The Niners beat the hell out of the Rams in that game. I mean, just beat them up on the line of scrimmage. And then, you know, the Bills game obviously was wonky. I mean, they got down 23, they came back and they lost. I think the Rams are about where they were last year, a 9-win team. So do I think they're decent? Yeah, I do. But I don't think they're a contender. I do not think that team has any shot in hell going to the Super Bowl.
For the record, on Goff's night, I mean, Cooper Kupp did drop a touchdown pass, although not an easy play. I mean, he was right at the sideline in the end zone. It would have been a good catch, but he did drop it. So his numbers could have looked a little bit better tonight. I don't know. I'm not impressed. And I also think they could beat Chicago because, you know, how good are the Bears? Go on the road and win. That would be a hell of an accomplishment to get to 6-1. But I also think that they could easily fall behind the 49ers. That was a physical football game tonight. They were,
yes, was.
That was cracking each other. Let's do in or out. Got four topics for you. The Titans belong in the Super Bowl conversation, in or out?
I'm in right now, man. I mean, they can score. They can score a ton of points. And I'll be the first to admit, I thought last year with them, it was a little bit of a magic carpet ride. And that this year, Tannehill would regress back to kind of closer, at least, to what he was in Miami. I thought Henry would still be good, but I didn't think he'd be the otherworldly guy that he was the last half of last year. Now, he has kind of regressed up until today, where he went berserk and like 212 yards rushing and 94-yard run that he had. I think one thing right now at the Titans, Tannehill keeps playing the way he's been playing. And he's now done it for about a full season in Tennessee. You got to at some point look at them and go, yeah, they're a problem. Like they got weapons. I don't think they are as good consistently as Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Baltimore, because before we go off the rails here, the Titans have barely beaten Jacksonville, Minnesota, Baltimore, and Denver. Like, they whipped up on Buffalo, which is impressive. Before, their five wins have been against horrible teams, and they barely won those games. But I've been impressed by the eye test. When I watch them, they've looked like they've played very well. So I do think you've got to put them in the mix. I think they're on the same level as Buffalo. I think they're a contender. I don't think they're a favorite, but I think they're a contender.
Next gen stat for you, Derrick Henry. Guy's a flat-out stud, and he's been we've done many interviews with him because he's always promoting something. But he was clocked to running 21.6 miles per hour during his 94-yard touchdown run, and he just runs over people. He was incredible today, going over 200 yards. So just put that in there. And they talk about looking forward. We'll see what they do against Pittsburgh, man. It's right in front of them. So
yes, big game, both undefeated.
Yep. So we'll see. My answer is yes. I'm in on the Titans belonging in the Super Bowl conversation. Indianapolis deserves praise for rallying from 21 down against the Bengals. People were just celebrating Cincinnati, and then it didn't happen. 31-27 Colts. Are you giving praise to Phillip Rivers? I'll start here, Matt. Yes, Phillip. Way to go. Second quarter, you actually looked like a capable quarterback again, despite the shade that Matt Verderam has been throwing at you for weeks now. He showed up. Are you giving him any praise?
No. I mean, that's great. He came back and beat the Bengals. They needed like a historic comeback to beat Cincinnati. Now, look, Rivers played well in the game. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'll give him credit for that. He certainly did. But the question here is, Indianapolis deserves praise. Indianapolis does not deserve praise. You get that 21 on the Bengals. I mean, that's your problem. Like, it's not like they beat, you know, the Packers down 21-0 or something. That would deserve a lot of praise. The Colts, to me, are a wild card contending type team. They're not more than that. They're not worse than that. They're the kind of team, if you get their best effort on any given day, they'll hang in there. But they're just so limited, man. Like, Rivers just makes them so limited. And the Bengals are awful. Like, no, they don't get any praise from me for winning a game they should have won and you know, being down 21-0 at the start.
I just want to remind everybody that, like, Indy is not exactly world beaters here. So if you had told me that they were going to be down 21-0 to anyone this year, I would have said that game's over. So I actually do give them some praise. And really how they've become a competitive Colts team all season, and they whipped they've got the one win over the Bears. Only loss came to the Colts, baby. I mean, Chicago.
That game was an atrocity.
I was going to say the Bears were absolutely horrendous.
I mean, and so were the Colts. Right. The game was awful. I watched that game.
It was terrible. All right. The Seahawks are the best team in the NFC, in or out?
I'm out. And they're the only undefeated team. So by record, you would say that you'd have to be in, but I'm out because I think if they're healthy and right, Green Bay and Tampa Bay to me are the two best teams. And they're both better because Seattle can't
really
stop Seattle can't stop anyone. Like, and this is the nature of this league, by the way. Seattle's like this close to losing to Miami and Minnesota this year. Now they didn't lose. Give them credit. They won the game. But like, if I everything that I do on this show, Carl, when I write my column, I'm thinking about January. Like, that's all I can, because to me, all the rest of this crap is irrelevant because it just doesn't matter. It's about what you're going to be in January. And of course, nobody knows for a fact, but you try to kind of pick up on different things. It may help or may hurt that time of year. I think Green Bay is a better defensive team. I know they didn't play well today. Although, again, they weren't awful today defensively. I mean, 14 of those points were basically given up by Rodgers. I think Green Bay is a better all-around team. The other thing is I don't think Russell Wilson can play any better than he's playing. Like, he's been unbelievable, and they're barely winning these games. New England was another game. They won by a yard. Like, I think Seattle's a very good team. I think Tampa could beat them. I think on a neutral field, Tampa would beat them. They can't get off the field. Like, I can't buy them for that reason alone. I just think Green Bay and Tampa Bay are both more well-rounded teams.
The NFC is just wide open, man, in my mind.
It is.
It's just, I guess, probably in everyone's mind. I mean, I'm looking at who could come out of the NFC. Well, I think Seattle could. Well, I think the Niners could. I wouldn't completely even rule out the Rams and the Cardinals out of the West. I think the Bucks could. Maybe the Saints can. I'm not, Carolina, you're out. But then out of the North, that's possible, Green Bay and or Chicago. And I'd say nobody out of the East. Okay. So how many teams I just named? Do you
think you get to the Super Bowl?
Get two?
Yeah.
I think that literally everybody I named has a shot at it in the NFC. I mean, who is the dominant team in the NFC?
To me, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and Seattle are the three best teams. I don't think anybody else is getting there. I would hear the argument for New Orleans that Breeze comes around.
I wouldn't rule out the Bears.
They have no offense.
I know.
They can't score a point.
But
I'm not trying to throw cold water on your Bears.
No, I don't care. I really at all.
But they can't score. Like, you know as well as I do, man, there's going to come a point in a playoff game where, like, they're going to have to convert third and nine. Like, it's just going to happen. Like, they're going to have to do it.
I think their offense is going to get better as the year goes along.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's fair enough if you want to make that argument.
And I just don't see any real dominant team. Like, okay, Seattle, you're good. But as you say, they can't stop anyone. Tampa, okay. Maybe it's the Bucs. I don't know.
And we can move on real quick. But I just want to ask you, since we just kind of ran down the NFC here, AFC, do you see it as wide open as the NFC?
No, not at all. No. Chiefs, Steelers, I guess I'd throw the Bills and the Ravens in there too. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm probably Chiefs, Steelers, Ravens. Okay. The Bills or the Titans have the potential to maybe get in that group, but that's where I am right now. Those three.
Last in or out. Will the Jets go 0-16 in or out?
We're just going to do this every week until they win a game. I hate being in on this because I just think it's such a joke to be in on an 0-16. Dude, they're so bad. Yeah. Like, I am in because we're sitting here. The Jets go 0-16 in or out. Yeah, I'm in on it. Like, they can't score a point. They literally didn't score a point against Miami today and didn't even come close other than a missed field goal. Like, Gase after the game is taking shots at Greg Williams. They traded McClendon, like, who's their nose tackle, is a captain of the team. I really think this is going to spiral if they don't fire Gase in a way that, you know what I'm talking about, at least you will when I say it. You know those teams you watch, and you see it in all sports, where they just clearly don't care. They don't believe in the coach anymore. And it's almost offensive how much they don't care. Like, you're watching the game and you're like, oh my God. I mean, this team is just a dog. The Jets are that team. And you don't get that team every year. You know, you get bad teams, but teams are still fighting. They're still trying. They still believe in their coach. The Jets don't even care. But you watch those games and you could tell how just completely disinterested they are. They don't have a lot of young guys who are playing for something. They got a lot of veterans on that team who could care less because they're basically cashing their last couple of checks. Like, Gase knows he's gone at the end of the year. I look at them and really, really, really think to myself, like, they're not going to win a game. They're not beating anybody. Like, there is no way. Their next couple of games, if memory serves, and I'm going to look it up real quick, but I believe they play a Monday nighter with the Pats in East Rutherford. Okay, no. So here are their next four games. So they're home to the Bills next week. They're losing that game. Then they're at Arrowhead. They are losing that game. Then they have a Monday nighter with the Pats. They're losing that game. And then they're at the Chargers. They're losing that game. So barring a cosmic miracle, they're 0-10. And they host the Dolphins. And I don't know that today gives you a lot of confidence. If that might be the last chance saloon, man. Like, that might be it, that game. Because after that, Seahawks, Rams, both away. The Browns at home, at the Pats. And then there's also a game I forgot right after the Dolphins. They play home against the Raiders. That Dolphins-Raiders swap, that might be it. Like, they're not winning any of those other games.
I'm going to say that Adam Gase gets fired tomorrow.
You think he's gone?
I think tomorrow's it. It's hasta la bye-bye. And he's not wrong with the Greg Williams stuff.
Greg Williams is an idiot. But
right. But I think it's over for Adam Gase tomorrow. That's my prediction. We shall see. And I'm in on them being 0-16. What's going on in your life, Matt Verderam?
So I was gonna just continue with my NBA Jam theme, as I've been playing more NBA Jam than anybody rightfully should. It's been fantastic. But I'll go with the weather is starting to chill here in Illinois, and I'm conflicted. Because on one hand, I like autumn. It's a nice season. On the other hand, the leaves are now mostly down. It's getting gray. It's getting cold. And I miss being able to go outside in a t-shirt, some basketball shorts, and just take a nice walk. Now I got to bundle up, stand pain in the ass, the wind, my ears get cold. Listen, I don't like that. So kind of conflicted on it. So I feel like the weather's irreversibly changed, although I am looking forward to Halloween because every time I ask Maisie about going trick-or-treating, this is the answer I get. Oh, I love Halloween, free candy. So I look forward to that.
I am straight miserable that the weather's changing since you brought that up. I have kept my sanity in the pandemic by playing a ton of tennis outside. I don't, unfortunately, make the big bucks to play tennis indoors all winter long. So that's like a once a week thing that I can manage. There's no pickup hoop in the pandemic. I don't even feel comfortable going to yoga in the pandemic. So this sucks. And I'm moving to Florida, Verderam. You want to come? I bring the family down? What do you think?
Man, I'm not going to Florida right now. You kidding?
It's everywhere, man. It's all the same. I'll create a bubble in Florida for you, buddy.
By the way, I'll say this at the end here, since you know we've probably at this point, you know, if you've stuck with us this long, you'll live with this. I can't take COVID anymore. I can't take it. Like, for the love of God, the country's too damn stupid to figure it out. So just get a vaccine, please. Not that we deserve one at the rate we've gone and how utterly comical we've been in trying to handle this entire situation. But I mean, there's no helping us at this point beyond just a permanent solution like a vaccine. So please hurry up and get one that's reliable and that works. Because I look around and if we don't get one, this thing's not going away. Because people are just too damn stupid to figure it out. So please, come through, because I can't take COVID anymore.
I feel you, baby. Hang in there. We're all hanging in there. I know that there's whoever is left listening to this podcast right now, I'm sure you're feeling the same way. And we thank you for listening and would love you to leave a review for Stacking the Box. Tell a friend. Tell somebody. We need you. We love you. Shout out to everybody who has been listening, especially to Mr. Verderam, Papa Verderam, the leader of all men, damn it. Getting ready for a Le'Veon Bell in Kansas City.
Yeah, he's going to be driving home from work during the first quarter of that Chiefs-Bills game, Monday afternoon football. And I'm sure I'll be providing play-by-play commentary over the phone. He's not going to be pleased that he's on the road for that.
That's a good son. All right, baby. We'll see you guys on Wednesday, week 6. Congratulations to Tampa Bay. Taking it to the Packers.